This is the Ray Hanania on Politics podcast. I've covered politics for nearly half a century, including covering Chicago City Hall from 1978 until 1992, full-time working there every day, morning until night, and covering the administrations of seven Chicago mayors from Richard J. Daley to Richard M. Daley. That includes a two-week stint by David Orr as interim mayor between Mayor Washington's death and the city council appointment of Eugene Sawyer as acting mayor. I write three weekly syndicated columns today on mainstream and Middle East politics every week for the Southwest News newspaper group of eight newspapers and on Middle East issues for two major Middle East news sites, including the Middle East Monitor Online in London and the Arab News newspaper in Saudi Arabia. You can get all the information on what I do by visiting Hanania.com or thedailyhookah.com. Or you can also go to RayHanania.com and OnDeadlinePodcast.com to get information on my latest podcast. All of those podcasts are available at iTunes. Thank you for listening to this, and I hope you enjoy this program. When I arrived in Boston to cover a Harvard conference this past week, I stepped out at Logan Airport's transportation area, and I found this fascinating dilemma. It was actually disturbing. On my left, some 100 or more people were pulling luggage and were standing in line waiting to take an Uber or Lyft ride home. On my right, where I walked, I was the only person in line for 30 taxi cabs that sat still like a dead parking lot. Cell phones and online apps were murdering another industry and in the process destroying more lives right before my eyes. In the 1980s, taxi cabs were riding high. The two major cab companies in Chicago, where I live, were Yellow and Checker Cab. They were facing a rebellion of sorts as some independent business people were buying their own medallions, the very expensive metal license that entitled the holder to operate a taxi cab. Now, at the time, medallions, you know, they were priced, you'd buy them, and you could place them on a cab vehicle that you could then lease out to somebody. So there were different ways to make money. But medallions at the time cost around $30,000, I think, back then. A couple years ago, the medallion was selling on the market for as much as $300,000. And this past, I'd say about 18 months, they rapidly increased to about $700,000. For many independent taxi medallion owners, the medallion was their retirement system. It was like an investment. They bought it, they worked it, they used it, they did generate money, but it turns out that it's almost like a Ponzi scheme now, thanks to the way we've destroyed the industry. The cab driver was the American dream for many immigrants, especially from Africa, Asia, and the Middle East, who came to America, and they opened up taxi cab services. It was like an industry door for their first jobs, taxi cabs. This was the immigrant base where many immigrants would land and then stand on their own two feet, working hard. They didn't just work, you know, six easy hours or seven easy hours with a break. They worked 18 hours a day, sometimes 7 days a week. Yet today, all that effort and energy, the investment, the entree to immigrants from around the world, it's vanished. The taxi cab industry is vanishing, and it's being replaced by a sketchy system of mildly regulated drivers, mainly driven by a lot of people who want to make as much money as possible, as cheaply as possible. Every day we hear stories about violence by these cyber app drivers using Uber and Lyft. Unlike the taxi cab industry where drivers are fingerprinted, Uber and Lyft drivers are not. You have no idea about the person who's driving that car that picks you up in response to an app request. Now, yeah, there are some background checks, but it isn't very extensive. And I mean, I was thinking about it. I would get in a cab and that cab was tied like with an umbilical cord of communications to the cab dispatch office. Uber is tied to some virtual reality nothing. You can't complain. If you have a problem with the taxi cab, you know, you can call the taxi cab company. They know exactly where it's at and who is driving and where it's supposed to be. Taxi cab drivers have had their issues, of course. The usual stuff. Drivers who sit in a cab for 24 hours make for an unpleasant smelling ride. There have been charges that cab drivers would not respond to calls from some neighborhoods plagued by excessive violence. I always sympathize with them who'd want to drive their cab into a bad, crime-ridden community. And a lot of times, those cab drivers would get in trouble. Chicago is a cesspool of violence, and its population is fleeing to the suburbs, bringing the population down from 3 million to 2.7 million people. Chicago is no longer the second city, let's face it. It's running third, hounded by Houston and a close fourth, and in a few years will drop to the fourth city with no chance of overcoming Los Angeles, which is the second city and is topping nearly 4 million people, right behind Apple number one city, New York. But the taxicab industry was a stepping stone to new immigrants. You know, the people that the left today champion as a political cause when it's convenient for them. It turns out the left doesn't really care about immigrants at all. They just care that they can use immigrants to advance their political agenda. I mean, why isn't the left standing up and complaining about the destruction of this taxicab industry, which is one of the first places where new immigrants often go to find work and to generate income and to work hard to become fully self-sufficient Americans? Part of the problem is that the taxi cab drivers were heavily regulated as an industry in places like Chicago, New York, Boston. They had tight background checks managed by employees and a dispatch network that monitored most of the cabs. You knew who was driving what car and could find out immediately if a driver did wrong. Back in the 80s, I remember I had one encounter with a taxi cab driver who cut me off. He didn't like my Corvette, and he pulled in front of me, cutting me off at the intersection. When I raised my hands, asking what he was doing, in a, you know, one of those gestures, I'm going, what the heck? The cab driver got angry, rolled his window down, and flicked a cigarette in my face, and then took off. Of course, I was a columnist with the Chicago Sun-Times and figured it would make a great story, which it did. I didn't identify the driver or his cab number that was easily visible. I just liked the story. I did identify his cab company, and the owner of the company quickly had his dispatchers track down who that cab driver was. They wanted to know where every cab was at that morning that I was referencing, and they pinned it down to the precise driver who actually got punished. I think he almost was fired. I remember going to the hearing hosted by the Chicago Office of Consumer Services at City Hall after the driver was reprimanded and heavily fined, feeling sorry for him for the impact that my column had on this man's life. He lost it for just that one moment, and, you know, he flicked the cigarette at me. He was mad. He ended up apologizing. I accepted it. I'm the kind of person, I always accept apologies. I think those are better than the people who lie to your face and do worse things and never acknowledge it, pretending they love you. I remember I testified on behalf of this cab driver to help make sure that he kept his job. The point is, when a taxi cab driver does something, there's a system of knowledge maintained by the cab companies and regulated by a government agency. The issue is safety, and I wonder how safe Uber and Lyft really are. What do we really know about the drivers who are using their cars to pick up passengers? I mean, think about it. These are young kids who, hey, I want to make some money. I download the app. I register as a driver. You have to get the car inspected to make sure it's the right one. They put the sticker on your car, and that's it. What about the insurance? The insurance on a cab is almost $8,000 to $9,000 a year. The insurance on a regular car, you know, driven by somebody is, what, maybe $800 a year. What does that mean in terms of coverage? The cab driver has to invest in this business. It means something to him. What does the Uber and Lyft driver do? They don't have to invest in the industry. It's just fast money. They don't care. There's no respect for that. The cab driver that picked me up at Logan Airport in Boston was named Abdi. He was African-American, an immigrant who's been in the country for a number of years, working hard to feed his family. The inside of the cab was plastered with city-mandated stickers with information, his name. There was a list of my rights as a passenger on the window. A cab number was displayed all over, and clearly explained cost system was displayed, so I knew I wasn't being ripped off, that I was going to pay what I was required to pay, a price set by the city and a commission that determines what is and what isn't fair. But the issue to me is safety. I felt safe. I felt safe in that cab. I felt safe in all that government regulation and bureaucracy. But how safe are we sitting in an Uber or a Lyft? I don't know. You can't tell who these Uber and Lyft drivers are when they're driving down the street. The cars just blend in. How do you identify them? You know what, if you have a problem with the cab driver, they stand out. You know exactly what's going on with the cab. You can identify it. All you got to do is fix on the number of the cab, you know, that you're in. And they have a whole receipt process. A lot of these Uber and Lyft people, you got to know every freaking car. And they don't have numbers anywhere to identify them. All you have is that app. And that signal that goes out when you try to book for Uber or Lyft. That, you know, they have is like this tiny sticker on their back window that I notice when these freelance drivers are cutting me off, speeding through traffic like maniacs. I think I count how many Lyft and Uber drivers cut me off all the time. It's upsetting. You know, I used to complain about the cab industry, but now I'm sitting here going, oh my God, I wish they were back. Abney told me about his friend who was building a taxi cab empire years ago. He owned several medallions that were only a few years ago were valued at $700,000 to $1.3 million in the Boston area, depending on what region and city you're in. Today, these medallions are almost worthless, and thousands of immigrants who came to America with the dream to earn a living for their families are now struggling in debt, wondering why they have to suffer through so much regulation while the pizza driver during his off hours can use his car with an Uber sticker or a Lyft sticker to pick up passengers without anyone really caring. You know what that's like? Let's say you go to Barnes & Noble. You know, they've invested money in their store. You can browse the books. It'd be like me carrying a small table, putting it in front of the Barnes & Noble store and selling my books cheaper, and then once they're gone, I can leave. I don't know. Is that the kind of business model we're moving toward? Doesn't seem right. You know, I want that Barnes & Noble. I want that brick-and-mortar building. I want something that has substance, you know, because substance means security. Without tight background scrutiny, with no clear identification, and no dispatch system that's constantly monitoring the cab drivers other than a cell phone app, you are literally taking your life in your own hands. And we hear those stories about people that are attacked when they pick up an Uber or a Lyft car. I stood at that sidewalk at Logan International Airport outside and looked to my left where 100 people waited to slip into their Uber and Lyft rides, and to my right where cab drivers sat hopelessly wondering whether or not they would even make their costs. This is a whole group of workers and employees, and a lot of them happen to be immigrants, and we supposedly care about immigrants. In a way, they're dreamers too, and we've abandoned them. The choice for me was simple. Hey, thanks for listening to my podcast. I really appreciate it. You can subscribe to these podcasts. You can subscribe to my columns. Visit hananiah.com to get everything you need. Bye-bye.